and welcome to the podcast. Coming to you from the Midwest Coast. I'm inside that miraculous establishment, the Midwest Healing Center, Lake of the Ozarks Podcast, Studio B. This is the New Old School Podcast. I'm your host, Don Allen. Tell somebody about the podcast. It's all free. You know, you can download any of these free apps, any mobile device, Podbean, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iTunes Store, Spotify. Every single one of them are free. And in doing so, you're going to be joining the thousands upon thousands listening every week from all over this blue marble planet. Let's check our analytics today. Got the big USA in the number one slot. South Africa has come on strong in number two. Kenya, United Kingdom, Australia, Nigeria, Singapore, Austria, Philippines, Canada, Ghana, Hong Kong, United Arab Emirates, Latvia, New Zealand, and Tanzania, all tuning in to help us spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. Well, we are in a series titled Grace. Grace. Oh, and again, what a misunderstood topic in Christianity, grace. I guess maybe it's just me operating out of maybe my own personal experiences, but I have some experience, and I'm telling you, this was one of those topics that just didn't get preached. And not just that it didn't get preached, but it was actually talked against in the faith circles that I was brought up in. And it was a very large circle. This was a very large organization of particular faith ministers. And this was something that was actually talked against when it was starting to gain some traction by some of those who, like myself right now, wanted to bring some light to it. There was nothing amazing about it. Well, it turns out there's a lot amazing about this topic that we need to know. Grace is so amazing. And I want to remind you that all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we were at one time amazed by grace, weren't we? You think about it, when somebody shared with you the very Son of the Almighty God died to pay for your sins, and all of your sins will be forgiven, and you get to go to heaven if you believe, you thought, that's pretty amazing. But what I want to really know is, are you still amazed by his grace? I guess that's the question. The issue has become is that we have an enemy. Now, that enemy is trying to get us to move into works. This is why I know for me personally, and again, I'm just talking out of my own personal experiences of sitting in a faith church for 30 years, the issue was the pastor needed you to work. And I think was afraid that if they didn't guilt you and push you into that work side and make it seem like your salvation hinged upon your work and not this greasy grace stuff, well, we would not be able to have control over the people to get anything done here. That's what it really seemed like. So it was all about works, and that we were the hardest working church in the Midwest. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we talked about this. We're the hardest working church in the Midwest, and we would do more and be more and the best at works. And so if you missed an event, boy, oh boy, you were going to go to the back of the line in the blessings. And God, well, maybe God was just too busy to do anything for you then. Guys, that is a quote from the pastor. See how you were too busy to be at work day. Maybe God's just going to be a little too busy to do something for you. You think I'm being ridiculous, but I'm telling you, these are the things that were said and implied by a faith-filled pastor of 30-plus years in the pulpit, and he never once preached on what grace is. We get born again. We read our Bibles. We start praying. We tried to stop cussing and smoking and drinking and running around, and we don't chew, and we get a little better, and we don't sin as much as we used to, and so maybe we don't need grace now as much as we did 20 years ago. No, listen, you need to be just as amazed with the saving grace as the sustaining grace. So when it comes to grace, there are what I would call maybe some subcategories under grace that are amazing. You think about righteousness. My goodness, Romans 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. We talked about this in the last podcast. Nobody is going to boast in heaven. There's not going to be any bragging in heaven. Romans 4, 3 through 5, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So the world doesn't know anything about this. Those who do not know Jesus do not understand this, because if they did, they would want to accept Jesus Christ. That you could believe in Jesus, and when you do, sin is taken out of your account, and righteousness is put into your account. That is amazing. If you go to the mall, and you interviewed people who have never read the Bible, didn't go to church, and you ask them, what do you have to do to go to heaven? What do you think the answer is that you're probably going to hear? I think probably most people would say, well, you need to be a good person, or do more good than bad. And then hopefully at the end of your life, you're going to have more good in your account than bad in there. I think that's probably the overall view that somebody might say. Well, the issue is God's standard isn't good. God's standard is perfection. Well, so then how would I ever get to heaven then? So let me ask you a question. Have you broken every law, like every single law that you know? Well, you may say no, of course not. James 2, verse 10. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of the laws. Wow. Okay. So second question I have you made at least one little slip up, right? I mean, all of us have. James 2:10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. That's New King James. But you are guilty of all. So of God's standard here is perfection. But none of us are perfect. So how are we ever going to get to heaven then? Very simple. We believe in the perfect one. The one who did keep the whole law, Jesus. Now verse 3, Romans 4. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God. There's that. Now it seems like a quick thing, but that's pretty important. His belief in God, the beliefs that he held, the way he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let me talk to you about three things, and I want to go backwards. Let's talk about righteousness. What is righteousness? So if I said to you that Pastor Nathan Gasford here, is a righteous person, I've known him for quite some time. Well, what would you think of the natural? Well, he lives righteously, right? I mean, what does that mean? Well, he does good things. He's a good husband. He's a good father. He's a really good person. I mean, you know, not perfect, but to the best of his ability, Pastor Nathan is just a good guy. Well, that's right. That's correct. He lives to the best of his ability righteously. That is a correct assumption. But that's not the only thing. So where grace and works are concerned, because that's what we're talking about, so is Pastor Nathan, is he righteous because he does righteous things, or does he do righteous things because he is righteous? That's the whole difference in grace and works right there. Is he righteous in God's sight because he does righteous things? The root word being right. He does right things, do the right things. So is he right with God because he does right things, or does he do right things because God, by grace, made him right by God? Get it? That's the difference, grace and works. Your understanding of grace changes everything about life. So in a conversation I was having with another minister, I asked, did you feel like you have had to fight for everything you have? And he said, oh yeah, I do. Well, see, that's the difference, because others feel like they have been given everything that they have, because it's by grace that you have been given. And I'm saying this because I struggle tremendously with this idea. I feel like I have fought and clawed for everything. But when I really think about it, God has given me so, so much. Things I do not deserve, but he gave them. My struggle is not thinking right about grace And so what does that do? That tosses me into works. Struggling with things coming this summer. We've got a big event all summer where we're going to be at the Strip, the historic Bagnell Dam Strip here at the Lake of the Ozarks. Largest tourist area in the Midwest. And God has led us to go down to the Strip all summer, cancel church all summer. It's a ridiculous idea, but it's a God idea. So go down there, and every Sunday at 10 a.m. on the Luby stage, right in the middle of the Strip, we are going to have church. But not just that. And then I think we have 5 concerts lined up on some Saturdays, and we're starting at the end of this month here in May. And so my struggle is with things coming this summer. Always issues here at church with things coming together. And I'm trying to, by works, get it to work. And God is over here like, well, hey, why don't you think back to how I gave you this building? You remember that? That it was the easiest thing that I've ever received in my life. I mean, it was amazing how this building came together. I didn't work at all for this. I just believed God. So the way you see grace will affect the way you see God and how you relate to him. It'll affect the way you see others and the way that you relate to others. And it mainly affects the way you see yourself and how you're going to relate to yourself when you stumble in one area of your life. Righteousness is right standing with God, that you could stand face to face with God minus any feelings of inferiority, no shame, no guilt, no embarrassments, no regrets, the state of being right with God. So can a righteous man do unrighteous deeds? Of course. I mean, just look in the mirror, because guess what? You have been made the righteousness of God, and yet I bet you have done some unrighteous things, haven't you? But so can an unrighteous person do a righteous deed? Sure, one that hasn't been saved yet can do right things. But does the righteous deed that the unrighteous person does make him righteous? So let's say there's a guy that doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't attend a church, have anything to do with God at all. And he goes out of town on a business trip, and he has a great day where he signed up a bunch of new business accounts, and one of those accounts was the largest account that he's ever signed up. So he goes out to dinner. He's feeling good. He goes for a walk. He's just feeling good about himself. And so he's walking by a playground, and the ball accidentally gets kicked over the fence, and so he just picks that ball up. He tosses it back over to the kids playing there, waves at them. He gets to the street corner. There's a little old lady there. She's got her hands filled with 2 big bags of groceries, and he grabs those from her, and he helps her across the street and gets her to her house and helps her in. Then on his way back, there's a homeless man there, and he sees him sitting there, and so he gives him some money because he's feeling good, and all good things, right? Right things. Now we have us a believer. He loves God, attends church regularly. He comes to the Midwest Healing Center, the MHC, so there's a few extra points there. He goes on a business trip and has a really bad trip. Loses several accounts. Even loses the biggest one. So he goes for a walk. The ball comes over the fence and he kicks the ball across the street. He's mad. Car runs over it. Kids are all yelling. He's like, whatever. He gets to the corner. There's that little old lady and she's asking for help. And he says, listen, I don't have time for that. And he just kind of shoves her out of the way. And she falls down and breaks her eggs. And he goes on and there's the homeless man. And he says, hey, get a job. Get yourself together, man. Cusses at him. Okay, wait, this guy doesn't go to the MHC, all right? He doesn't go to the MHC, never mind. He must go, oh, never mind, I won't go there. He goes to a different church. Okay, but he's a believer. I know none of our people would ever do anything like that, I'm sure. All right, but a righteous man can do unrighteous deeds. So back to my point, does the righteous deed the unrighteous man does make him righteous? Is he right? Is he in right standing with God? No, he has to accept Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, this is what people struggle with. Does the unrighteous deeds of a righteous man make him unrighteous? No, because you are righteous because of your position, not because of your performance. Yes, it's wrong to do those things. And yes, you're going to suffer consequences of doing those things. And I can go down that road that would allow anger to destroy my life if I don't stop doing those things. But my right standing with God is due to the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of his actions and not my actions that I'm right with the Father. So that's what righteousness is. Now, next thing, did Abraham earn it? Romans 4 and verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So this word accounted or counted means to keep records of credit in heaven. It's accounting, keeping records of debts or credits. So for him who works, it's not counted as grace, but as debt. So it doesn't mean that it's bad for you to do good works, but it does mean if Abraham had done good works for this, God would have had owed him, he would have owed him, it would have been a debt to God. God would have owed him a payment for his good works, just like somebody coming and doing a job for you at the house. Well, you would owe them, right? It's now a debt to them. You owe them for the work they did. This says that God didn't owe Abraham. So imagine with me, and I wish you could see the example, but you can imagine it with me. If we have three containers, okay, and all three represent somebody. So let's say one of them represents a perfect person. That's Jesus, right? His container is his account. What's in his account? His container. So that's what we're looking at, is his container, what is going to be in there. So we have another container. That's a bad person. That's somebody that's not met Jesus yet. This is a bad guy. Let's call him Donnie, all right? This is a guy I know who was a bad person. Now, a good person, our third container, just a random name, let's say Michelle. I'm not trying to earn any points here. You might just mention it to her, but a random name, Michelle. Okay, so here I am. I was delivered from drugs, drinking, chasing, I mean, ridiculous world stuff. Michelle was delivered from ignorance. She just didn't know who God was. That's all. She wanted to. Michelle was a good person. Here I am. I knew better and still just lived a life of sin. So what did my account look like? Before I was really saved, and I say really saved because as a child I had an emotional experience, but to say that I was really saved, I'm not saying children can't get born again. I'm just saying I think for me personally, it was more of an emotional experience, but to say that I was really saved, I'm not sure about that at that time. So what does my account look like? So we can have sin and right deeds. So imagine before I got saved, my account would show that it was filled up with sin in it. Okay, you looked at my container and it's just filled with sin. It's all sin. That's what it showed. But I did a few things right. I would go to church with my mom at times. So I might have a right thing here and a right thing there, kind of mixed in with the sin, but just very few, okay? It was mostly sin with a few good deeds mixed in. Now, Michelle's account is filled with right things. Michelle was a good girl. She tried really hard not to be bad. She was a good person. Didn't sleep around, didn't try to fight anybody, didn't try to hurt anybody, didn't want to do drugs, right? But because she is human, there were maybe a few sins mixed into her account, but overall, before she was saved, it was filled with more right things than wrong things. You know, maybe stole a pack of gum once, right? So how are we going to go to heaven? Now, what's Jesus' account look like? It's just straight up filled with all righteousness, nothing else. But even Michelle's righteousness, like, remember now, she did righteous deeds. I mean, really, with just very few bad things mixed in. Remember Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Plural, righteousnesses are like filthy rags. All of our many right things are as filthy rags. So now when we see our accounts had some right things in it, or maybe like Michelle, it had more right things in it than wrong things, but in the end, all of it was filthy rags. Shoot, you could almost say that Michelle had more filthy rags than I did. We're talking about good works, but I'm just saying they are all filthy rags. There goes all my points I was trying to score. So God looks at my account, and he sees all the sin and a few filthy rags. He looks at Michelle's account, he sees all the sin because everybody sins, but he sees these other filthy rags. So how in the world are we going to get to heaven if I have sin in my account? Michelle has sin in her account. Abraham had sin in his account. You have sin in your account. How are we going to go to heaven? And Jesus has all the righteousness in his account. Here's what took place 2,000 years ago. God took all of the righteousness out of his son's account and he replaced it with all the sins that were in our account. He drained our accounts, and he threw all of our sin into Jesus' account. He drained Jesus' account, and he threw all that righteousness into our account. That's why his son was condemned to death, because the Bible says that God took the one who knew no sin and made him sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. So Jesus shed his blood. And that blood was like the magic eraser. It erased our sins completely. They can't be found. And not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. People don't even know this, that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, right, or not counting their sins against them. I'm talking about the world. God's not sitting here counting their sins against them. God took away the sins of the whole world. Well, how? Because I know people who won't make it to heaven. Yes, right. Because God gave us a will. And you have to choose what you're going to receive. So here's a sacred cow that's just going to tick some people off. Some people that I know who base everything they do off of sin. We need to repent of sins. You need to repent of sins. They need to repent of sins. Guess what? No one is going to hell over sin. If that's the case, then you're going to hell for sure. Every one of you are going to hell. They are not going to hell because of sin. Jesus paid for the sin. People will go to hell because of unbelief. So God put all of my sins in Jesus' account and then erased my account so there was no righteousness either. Until what? Until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now I have Jesus' righteousness into my account. So Michelle at 19 years old gets righteousness into her account. Abraham is 75 and believed, and righteousness is placed into his account. So when did you believe? Have you believed yet? Here's what James says about Abraham. Abraham put works to his faith. In other words, his faith was active, because faith that's not active is dead. So when God said, move, this man moved. He started obeying. So it's not enough to believe with just a mental recognition, because there are a bunch of people who do that and yet still do whatever they want to do. When you really believe, you're going to start following Jesus Christ. So how did Abraham get it? What did Abraham have to do? He had to believe. John 6, 28 and 29. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Here's your answer, that you believe in him who he sent. You have to believe. But in your heart, not just your head, not an academic faith that says, yeah, I know what the Bible says. I know, but doesn't do anything in action to back it up, but rather a heart that believes and then moves by faith, because that's real belief. You know, we read about Abraham, and I think he's just a really good guy, and we read about these in the Bible, and we make them kind of superhuman, I think, that they didn't go through what we went through, and so that's why God used them. Well, I can assure you, Abraham had sin in his account. In Genesis 12, this is when God spoke to him, and he believed, and righteousness was put into his account. But before Genesis 12, this man was a heathen. He's a part of a heathen nation. He's not a Jew. He's not one of the people of God. There was no Israel. He's a heathen. After he believed, he's going to go into the city with his wife, who must have been some hottie. And so he lies about his wife and says, this is my sister, so the king can take his wife and make her one of his many women and abuse her sexually. And Abraham did this twice. This is after he believed. He also sleeps with the housekeeper, his wife's maid, and had a child with her after he believed. So imagine what he was like before he believed. So God shows up to this man who has no concept of who God is. And I'm sure he's kind of worried about this. You know, what in the world does God want to talk to me about? I mean, imagine this, God talking to you before you were saved. So God says, okay, Abraham, it's going to be hard for you to believe considering what you've probably heard about me and what they're saying about me. This is going to be hard to believe. But I didn't come to judge you or to condemn you. I could, but I came for one reason. I came to bless you. This is in Genesis 12. I came to bless you, and Abraham believed, and when he believed, God took sin out of this man's account, and he placed righteousness in there. Romans 4 says this is what God does for you when you believe. So Michelle, Her only exposure to any religion was Mormonism because of a friend that she stayed the night with in school. She was a Mormon, and so Michelle would go with her to some of these events in like a summer camp, some of these things. So her dad was into psychics and mediums. So that's all the exposure Michelle had. She had joined a softball league in college. I mean, this is at that age. She joined the softball league in college and started going to Sunday school with some of her friends that were on the team because a group of them went to a Christian church. So she went to big service once, but she got made fun of because she didn't know the songs and didn't know what in the world communion was all about. I mean, imagine not knowing and hearing, this is my blood, drink it. This is my body, eat it. So Michelle's like, I'm out of here, you know. So a long time after that, she came back and she went to big service again. But in Sunday school, she had heard about this Jesus being crucified in an Easter message. She had heard about the beating and the cross, and they were just saying it so casually, and she was just devastated over here to think that somebody did this to someone else. She just couldn't believe it. So she goes back to big service, and she sits in the very back. So she says that she felt like God was speaking right to her on this particular day as the pastor was ministering, that she just thought she heard God's voice in her body, that she could almost feel him, she said. I mean, she's just looking around at everybody else, and they're just sitting there, and she's just like devastated. She said she just began to weep so hard because God spoke to her. And she said, I don't know how to explain, except I just almost felt like I heard God's voice in my body. And all he said to her was, Michelle, even though everybody else has abandoned you in your life, your mother didn't want you, your father's just tolerating your existence, I will never leave you. I love you. She couldn't even move. She's weeping so hard, and everybody's just looking at her, and she couldn't understand why they didn't hear what she just heard. She's crying. But at that moment, she understood who God was. He revealed himself to her. She knew who Jesus was at that very moment and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and got baptized the next week. Same grace that saved me, who knew better, saved her who knew nothing. That same grace is amazing. So friends, please don't buy these lies that you just can't because of the unrighteous things that you've done. If you're born again, you were made righteous. You were made it. And if not, well, you could be by simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Never fall into the trap of works, because God will owe you nothing. Grace, it's a free gift. That's why it's amazing. That's all the time I have for today. Thank you for joining me on the New Old School Podcast. I'm your host, Don Allen. Until next time, I'm going to continue to walk in that amazing grace so I can continue to attempt the ridiculous and achieve the miraculous.